Rachel Zegler, move on over. There's a new cringe queen of Hollywood, and her name is Melissa Barrera. She was in Scream 5, 6, but not 7. And she's letting everybody know she's flipping out with a cringe out. Dumpster fire worthy of Rachel Zegler herself. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the channel that brings clarity and sanity to a Hollyweird desperately in need. You can help us raise efforts for the cause by clicking the like button. And it's time to take a pause to look at one crazy train wreck of a situation with Melissa Barrera, a celebrity who has managed to make herself unhireable, even in an undesirable Tinseltown that only wants the crazy, zany wokies still around them. There's Zegler, then there's Mecca Zegler, and then there's Melissa Barrera. Holy moly, this lady wants to destroy her career forevermore. I mean, this is a freakout like we seldom see in Hollyweird, and that's really saying something. Marvin Montanaro write this one over at Geeks and Gamers. Melissa Barrera torches Scream 7, claims Paramount lied about record-setting box office. Now, this is the crazy lady who, around the time that Zegler was going full loony with Snow White and causing Gal Gadot to have extra security, Barrera was in that sort of same camp where she was making geopolitical statements about the Middle East in a way that she just couldn't stay with her film Scream 7, which I believe was by Paramount. Is that right, guys?
I think so.
So here she is. She was released from the film, and she's still mad about it. And I don't think she's hireable, and she may have actually been... Yes, there it is, Scream from Paramount. I think she's been blacklisted from Hollywood, and she is now raging. Melissa Barrera, it says, is still raging about Scream 7 in her latest interview with Variety. The fired star of Scream 5 and Scream 6 sounds absolutely furious that the franchise moved on without her and succeeded anyway. In the interview, Barrera attacked the film itself, accused Paramount and Spyglass of lying about the movie's box office performance, and even took shots at actors who returned to the franchise after her firing, comparing them to people crossing the picket line. That's right, folks. Wow. Just when you thought that we had seen the most zany stuff out of Hollywood and celebrities, Melissa Barrera, according to Gizmodo, is calling all of the cast of Scream 7 scabs. Boy, she's making friends. She is making friends. Go, Melissa, go. We're here to see it. This dumpster fire, you're taking it higher. Melissa Barrera was fired from Scream 7 after the social media controversy. She was removed from Scream 7 in 2023 after a series of social media posts regarding Israel and the other place you know, sparking major backlash online. At the time, Spyglass Media Group issued a statement condemning anti-Semitism and announced the actress would no longer be involved with the franchise. Barrera denied that she was anti-Semitic and argued she was being punished for speaking out about civilian deaths during the conflict. The firing immediately ignited a massive online firestorm. Supporters framed Barrera as a victim of Hollywood censorship, while critics argued her post crossed the line. Shortly afterward, Jenna Ortega also exited the project. The reports at the time cited scheduling conflicts tied to Wednesday. So here we are. She says all kinds of crazy stuff. And she's the face of everything right now in the trades, because even the other celebs, even the Hollywood insiders, can't believe what she's doing right now. Going so far as to claim, and I guess this is the big thing, claiming that Paramount faked the box office numbers. Now, I don't even know how that's possible. And I love how Variety puts this. Melissa Barrera was canceled by Hollywood for speaking out against Israel. She's still fighting her way back. Mike, I would say after this one, when you start making legal claims like Paramount faked the box office numbers, like that has an effect on investors. That's a huge claim. I don't think she's fighting back anymore, Mike. I think she's toast. Yeah. I think she just had a flame out. What do you make of it?
Yeah, that's affecting the bottom line of these studios is the number one way to never get a job again. I mean, we will likely never see Scarlett Johansson work for Disney ever again because she sued them because of Black Widow and she wasn't putting them on blast. But this is the ultimate like no-no in the industry. There's no way that anybody wants to work with her because there's always a chance. I mean, Jim Carrey was a massive star and he almost got blacklisted back when Kick A2 came out and he pulled out of the marketing of the film because he said he couldn't support it. Like, this is a huge problem. You cannot do this. And she does not have enough of a career and enough of a pedigree to make herself and keep herself employable. So yeah, this is awful. And the fact that you said, you know, Scream is profitable without her, maybe
unnecessary.
Yeah. So now there's no reason for her to be around anymore. Yeah. But they're going to keep trying to push that narrative that she's some kind of victim. She did this to herself.
All right. 100%. Let's talk about the undercurrent here that most people don't know that really matters when it comes to the trades and why they're doing this. Why is she getting a platform? Okay. Not that she shouldn't. We're all for it. Flame out. But
yes,
the trades are always up to something. They're always pushing something to do with the orthodoxy of Hollywood. So why did suddenly she get a platform? And the answer to that, I believe, is because who owns Paramount? The Ellisons, right? And they're perceived as being in the same lane as President Trump. And so there is a fear in Hollywood that if you are critical now, or if you go out, if you become a Mark Hamill, that you will be on a blacklist with Paramount. You will no longer be hireable. And so I think that's what this is. The trades want to say that we're not going to allow people to be canceled for their beliefs on the left because of the Ellisons. And how far will they go on this? Well, folks, if you take a look at Variety here, it says, this is Variety now. This is not her. This is Variety giving her a leading question. Just listen to this. It's been rather gendered as far as the people who've had to face repercussions for speaking out against Israel. In other words, Variety, and this is where we get to the point of me believing that, you know, this is all political. Variety is saying, it's because you're a woman, culture, you're not a woman. I'm asking you the question. Melissa, it's because you're a woman. Guys can do this. Guys do this all the time. They can speak out. They can speak their mind. But you're a woman, Melissa, and therefore you're getting targeted by those mean Ellisons over at Paramount. I don't buy it, culture, and I don't think anybody else is going to buy it either.
Yeah, I think this is the. I think I'm going to use a Lornism, and I'm going to say this is like grabbing a handful of spaghetti and throwing it at the wall and seeing what sticks. And right now, none of the things she's saying are likely to stick. She definitely didn't have enough sauce or a wet enough spaghetti.
What do you mean she didn't have enough sauce? What do you?
Well, you know, I mean, when you pick up spaghetti, I mean, you know, you usually have sauce.
Right, that's a strange metaphor for a young lady, but we'll go with it. Lauren, rescue me, please.
Took it a little further than I would have, but I like the fact that you used a Lornism. I use throwing spaghetti at the wall all the time. So
Lauren does. I get what you were saying. He simply throws spirit. Chicken at the wall.
Oh, I'll throw a chicken at anything. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. If there's a way to destroy a chicken, I will find it.
All right. Here comes Pete on the phone again. Lauren, this is a tremendous it's a temper tantrum. It's a toddler fallout right now, and everybody's trying to pretend on her side that she's got a point to make. It's like, no, you're claiming all these crazy things and there's no backup for you. So if the fact that nobody missed you in the franchise means they didn't need you in the first place.
I agree with you about that. I haven't read the story, though, so I'm not familiar with all the fine details. The one thing I think she might be saying is that sometimes, depending on how the deal was made to have her in the picture, you might have points on the back end. And a lot of times the studio can get creative when they start saying how much the production cost against the profits. And so if any of her payment was tied to profits, not straight box office, then what she may be saying is that there was some accounting going on that was making it appear on the back end, like the movie didn't have any profits and so she wouldn't get any points. But I don't know. I haven't read the article. I don't know if that's the argument she's making, but that may be what she was attempting to say.
Well, I think that's about two levels of intellect beyond where we are with this with this crash out. She says, I think they lied about the numbers. I don't think it made that much money. And that's all because Marlo Stern of Variety said, let's be real. The seventh one sucked. And Barrera, you know, said, I know, I think they lied about the numbers.
Oh, so she's arguing about it the other way. I was interpreting her to say that she felt that because she was not in the picture, that if she had been, she had lost out on a lot of money. You're saying instead that she's saying that they claim the movie made a lot more money than
exactly.
What?
Exactly. That means she didn't get any money from this. She's got no residuals. She didn't have a contract that held up. When they fired her, she was fired. She was gone. And the money was gone, too.
Right. I got that she wasn't going to get any money either way. I just thought perhaps what she was arguing was that if she had been in the picture, then she would have been entitled to a certain amount of money, and she was trying to claim that they were saying that it had not made that much. But I had misinterpreted what she said. So either way, yeah, she's if this is what she's doing, she's absolutely toast.
All right, so final question for the panel. Has she eclipsed Zegler? Because Zegler is unhirable. Zegler shows up to the Met Gala. Oh, come on, Lauren. Come on. This is worse than Zegler, surely.
I don't think so. No. It's, you saw Zegler at the Met Gala, right? And how she was doing the
The Gray
Martyr the
Lady.
Princess. I think that this lady could go off and start some kind of a personality brand of some kind. She could make soaps and candles and shawls and things, and possibly have a career doing that.
I love this. So her best, hang on a second, let's turn the audio down. You're saying that her best options now are to make shawls.
Well, I don't know, but I think that, I suspect that she would have an opportunity to reinvent herself, let's say. This
I think
chick.
there's a reality show here. We can put Zegler versus her in a reality show. Make them have a home together.
Yeah.
Like, what was the MTV show where they put them in the same house?
The real world?
The Real World. Put
Yeah.
Real World with Melissa and Rachel.
I would watch
Can
that. I'm not gonna
you
lie.
imagine? This is their career resurrection right there.
Yep,
Right
there it
there.
is. We figured it out. Yeah, this is
I would
gold.
hate every second.
I would watch that show so much. Just
Zegler.
I would watch
Watching
it if
them.
she held that face in the lower left-hand corner for the entire thing, then
Right.
okay, we'll do
Watch
it.
them both fall down in the kitchen at the same time and wait for somebody to come rescue them because they're both victims. Oh, I would watch that show. That would be some of the best television we've probably ever seen.
For the record, there's Zegler, who is dressed as Lady Gray, what would you say? The symbol of teenage innocent victimization and being killed for it. And there she is, that's her, that's Zegler. She comes back to Met and she's the symbol of being victimized.
I just continually see her as the simple Jack. That's what I see her as all the time.
The movements that she's making here are somewhat disturbing, and I want to see somebody just take this video and then isolate it, remove the background, and put her in an AI horror trailer. Because this to me looks like some kind of a horror zombie kind of character in a video game or something.
I just want somebody to take the video of Zegler that you're seeing right now and show it to Melissa and say, "Yeah, you're not even in the same class. I mean, that's a good effort, but listen, you got things to learn. You need to go talk to Zeg and see if she'll help you out. You can cringe harder than this. Trust
You
us.
gotta try harder.
You gotta try harder."
Often, as we get ready to wrap these up, folks, you'll hear us say, "Keep learning, keep growing, keep having fun." And the reason we do it is because we appreciate you. It's true, we do. And we want you to have a good time. Thank you for giving us the great time of spending time with you. Folks, on the way out the door, consider clicking that like button, share, subscribe, click it and stick it to the algorithms. It's the notification bell. And drop a comment down below because you matter. Your thoughts matter. Who cares what the legacy corporate deadbeat media tells you? You really are important. And we're a testament to that. We wouldn't be here without folks just like you. And since we've said it, we'll say it once more. Folks, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, keep learning, keep growing, and as always, keep having fun.